from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Anything seems like a good idea after you've had a few.
Don't go to the railway station.
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink. And I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, things.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done, other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey man, happy Thursday, everybody. We are a day away from the start of preseason with our Atlanta Falcons down in Miami. Today, they will work amongst themselves. They will not have a joint practice today, as the Dolphins will prepare in the way they need to. Our Falcons will prepare in the way they need to. And then tomorrow, our coverage starts right here at 5 o'clock. So short show tomorrow, heading into the first preseason game, and then we get some action. But Mike, as we start the show today, one of the things we asked Torrey McElhaney yesterday was what this rotation for the quarterbacks is going to look like. And I got to tell you guys right now, we got to see a lot of Penix this preseason. We have to see a lot of Penix this preseason, Mike. And listen, the theory on this is pretty simple, right? This isn't about him starting. This is simply about us seeing what we have, because this is going to be our only opportunity.
Yeah, man. Look, you're going to see a lot of Penix. I told you. It sounds to me the way they've talked about it, at least what we got from Coach Ra and a little bit from Zach Robinson. I think he plays almost the entire first half. In the second half, they'll let the backups get in there. And then we'll see where that one goes. We already know what we have with Heinicke, the kid from Canada. You know, okay, see what he can do. Maybe he can supplant Heinicke. I mean, there's only a little bit of savings if we moved on from him. But getting back to Penix, yeah, bro. Want to see Penix, and I want to see the stuff we saw at camp. As you said, the only criticism we could have is something you see with all rookies, is sometimes being a little overwhelmed by the defense. Ball's got to come out quick and on schedule. Everything else, once the ball's out of his hands, it's usually right where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, he's got to – listen, he throws a pretty ball, okay? And there's no doubt about that. His deep ball is accurate. It's beautiful, to Mike's point. But let's not make the mistake of not playing him enough to get a real feel for what we have. Now, we all think he's going to be pretty good, right? They don't draft him eighth overall. And for all the things that have been said about Michael Penix being ready to play now, NFL ready is the phrase, I think that's all accurate. But, Mike, he's not going to play when the season starts. So if you're telling me we got three games, and really I think only two, because in that third game I still don't know how much anybody's going to play, I want to see as much as possible. And that means a half For me, that means the first half of tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, you're going to get it. You're going to get it.
I got to see Michael Penix.
I think you're going to get it. And this isn't as if it's some kind of like to create a controversy. They don't want that or anything. It's just Cousins is getting the work done in these scrimmages down in Miami. They just wrapped. And you're going to see this guy, Penix, playing with. Now, again, he's not playing with Drake London. He's not playing with Kyle Pitts. That's what fans would like to see, Carl. You have to wait for that. But you're going to see him with the guys that we've talked about fighting for jobs in that depth chart. But I can't wait. I think the fans can't wait. Been talking about it all offseason. That's one reason to be excited about Friday night.
Is there a minimum amount of time you need to see him this preseason? Let us know. Turtle, put the poll up at Dukes and Bell 929. Is it just a few series and you're like, look, I don't want to risk it just in case Cousins something happens? Or are you like Mike and I where we're like, hey, put him out there and let him play. Let him get adjusted. Whatever you need to see, let him throw a couple of deep balls so we can all get excited. And let us feel good about what the future potentially holds. That is where I'm at. I'm more convinced that that is a bigger deal than anything else pretty much that we'll see this preseason. If you're worried about us running the ball, we're going to be fine. Our offensive line is really good. If you're worried about Kyle Pitts, everybody's saying in the organization he's 100% and he's going to be fine, Mike. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Kyle Pitts, I don't think they're going to risk him with the injuries he's been overcoming. I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of Kyle Pitts, guys. I just don't.
Now, how much they want to get him out there to get into a rhythm with Kirk Cousins? I mean, the rhythm is being established in practice, and that's why these scrimmages with the Dolphins are so important for that sort of stuff. But, yeah, I think you see other teams, and again, because of the – you got a guy coming off an injury. Last year he never got to be 100% in Pitts. Maybe the end of the season perhaps. We know about the Achilles with Kirk Cousins, but other guys that are starting, like you're seeing, the Chiefs are going to play. We've seen other teams out there they're going to play. Steelers are going to play. So it's going to be interesting to see at what point do we get it. Usually it's that second game of the preseason since we've gone to three. And then, Carl, that final week is just simply trying to fill out the roster and get it down to 53.
404-726-0929. You can text us. Find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow this radio station at 929 The Game. Let's hear from our quarterback, Kirk Cousins, talking about the benefits of these joint practices the last few days and his takeaways from those practices.
A lot came up as, hey, what do we do versus this look? And, oh, you want that? Okay. So a lot where without having these practices, we might have been not aware of some of the things we want to go to offensively. I think the intensity picked up a little bit, which honestly bothered me a little bit. I said, you know, if the pace of practice picked up, then what does that say about the previous practices? You know, we've got to be at that level all the time. So that would be my challenge. When we go back to Flowery Branch, you know, we got to practice at this pace regardless. And so that'll be an important point of emphasis, but good 2 days.
We heard that yesterday, and I think you and I agreed. That's leadership. You know, we always talk about it. Sometimes it's funny when it comes up, guys are like, what is this leadership thing? I know two generations maybe aren't into leadership, but again, it's important to have somebody be the point guy and say, look, we got to step it up. If expectations are playoffs, and so there's Kirk Cousins in his first year just throwing it out there. I love that stuff. That's the kind of stuff, yeah, I'll say it, stuff I like to hear from Trey, stuff I want to hear from everybody, stuff you want to hear, you know, whether it's a college, you know, whether it's going to be Carson Beck this year, this guy's take that mantle of leadership, and that's what that is right there.
This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We're talking about the Falcons, and by the way, Mike's pretty adamant about we'll see, you know, Penix for a half. I hope so. We thought we would see more of Desmond Ridder, and the mistake that Arthur Smith made was he didn't do it. So you're telling me that Raheem Morris is not going to make that mistake with Penix, knowing this is really the only time we're going to get a chance to see him?
Well, the starter's got, you know, a decade of experience in the NFL, and he is getting practice working against the Dolphins right now, and you would love to see him. I get that, to know that the Achilles is 100%, but they're not going to risk that in a preseason game with somebody, you know, some third-string guy trying to make a team and taking out Kirk Cousins' knee. Don't need that. So I understand the logic of it, but no, I think that last year, I'll never understand. And that's ancient history now with Arthur Smith. Why it was one series and not the entire preseason for Desmond Ridder. I'll never understand that. But Penix, this is great reps, great opportunity. So if heaven forbid something does happen to Cousins, this guy's as prepared as he can be.
Yeah, and it is, Mike. I just think these coaching philosophies sometimes get in the way of tangible work. Sometimes your philosophy gets in the way of, well, we can't do that. Well, why? Well, we've never done it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's that mean? I mean, like that doesn't mean that the guy can play or you totally have seen everything that you need to see in a competitive mode. You've seen him in practice. Let's see him against other teams here the first couple of weeks of the preseason. Here's Kirk Cousins, by the way. I don't think we'll see a lot of Kyle Pitts, not because he doesn't want to play. Why risk him? Guys, he's been hurt the last two seasons, okay? We need him at 100%. But Cousins said he is challenging Pitts, Mike, to use his length and speed.
Well, I think what he has, a couple traits, he can really run, and those guys don't grow on trees, and then he's got length, and as a quarterback, that's really, really friendly. And so, you know, what I'm encouraging him with is to use that length as much as he can. Anytime he lets the ball into his body, I tell him that wasn't good enough. You should never let it come into your body. You're too good to let it come into your body. So I challenge him with that, and then I challenge him. I don't feel like he's running as fast as he possibly can. I say, that wasn't good enough. It was fast enough for a lot of tight ends, but for you, it got to be faster. And so I'm always saying, did you run as fast as you possibly can, and did you snag it with your hands aggressive? Those are the two things I challenge him on, because I said, if you do that, the production can't help but happen. And so I'm just always looking for opportunities to get him running and then give him that ball where he can go snag it.
Interesting.
Right.
Talking about catching the ball, not with your body, running harder, challenging him. You guys think he got that last year?
No. Not at all.
No.
No. I mean, guys.
I was like, man, this dude he's legit.
Come on, Bijan.
That's a leader, man.
He didn't get that. He didn't get that last year, Mike. I mean, the quarterback's like, you didn't run fast enough.
No, Ritter's just trying to basically understand the playbook and keep. He's basically, Ritter was just trying to, in his own headspace, trying to make sure he didn't screw up and keep his head above water. That's, and look, it's a shame it didn't pan out, but they put their eggs in that basket and the kid wasn't ready. And his role in the NFL is maybe if he ever gets another shot, maybe he'll be more prepared. I don't think so. I don't think he's got the requisite skill. Now you got a dude and you got another guy off a national championship run. You know, who's been a leader, who's a captain of that Washington team. These guys are ready.
Yeah, I just love hearing Kurt talk about that individual.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Dual leadership. Like, it's one thing to say, come on, guys, let's go as a team or in the huddle. One-on-one with Kyle Pitts, he's telling him, these are the things I need from you. That's what we need. It's like us saying, hey, Kyle, I need you to be more productive. It's nothing wrong with this and the way that Kirk Cousins is going about it. Hey, one other thing he talked about, Mike, is his potential of playing in the preseason. Tomorrow, again, first preseason game against the Dolphins. We'll talk more about it through the course of the afternoon. We'll get you caught up on the Braves as well, and also a bunch of guests to stop by this afternoon, including our buddy Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports, who covers the NFL. This is Cousins saying, well, of course I'd like to play. But
it's a calculated deal of if you could promise me I'm coming out feeling no worse for the wear, absolutely. I'd love to play all four quarters. But the reality is that you can't promise me that. And so you have to be calculated and say, hey, risk versus reward. Let's get all we can in these 2 days, and then we'll protect you is really the thought process. And it has been around the league now for a while. And I got to get as many mental reps as I can standing there with the earpiece in, looking at the coverage and trying to make sure that I'm saying to myself, okay, I go to the scout route there. Okay, I throw the sit. Okay, I progress backside of the base. Okay, get the Bijan here. So you're kind of playing the game from the sideline as you're watching.
There you go. Stuff. And that's, again, next level, right?
That's good stuff. It is, man. And you know, look, in the competitor in anybody, if somebody tells you you can't play and you want to and you feel healthy enough, it sucks. But it's in the best interest of the team. It's in the best interest of the organization. Kirk understands that. But what he just went through right there about seeing plays and defenses and man-to-man coverage and, oh, this is how they're trying to play this. Mike, that's the stuff. That's our osmosis stuff that you pick up as a quarterback, and then you're able to use it once you get on the field. I have high expectations for him this year, man. I think Turtle, and we've thrown this around, how many yards and touchdowns. Guys, if it's anything less than 3,700 or more yards, something is wrong. Like, that's where Kirk Cousins lives. Right. It should be a 4,000-yard season, and he should have a couple of 1,000-yard receivers on this team. That's right. Where he is.
And that's where we talked about it yesterday. I mean, Pitt's 1,000 yards, validating all those draft picks. You know, it's one thing, guys, if you're going to draft offense, and again, we know I'm going to walk you guys through it. You lived it. They thought Matt Ryan would be here a little bit longer. They made a play for a quarterback they couldn't get, and it all of a sudden we're stuck with Mariota and Desmond Ridder. So now we're going to validate the Pitts pick. We're going to validate the Drake London pick. We already know what Bijan's capable of, and now we got an offensive coordinator who, by the way, it's not my way or the highway. Hey, let's come up with a plan we can all get on board with, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. All right, guys, plenty more to get to. The Braves making some moves. We'll get you caught up on the latest. Last night, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say.
You just, you know, when things are going tough.
That's unacceptable.
You needed Sale. You needed Sale to be better than he was. And then everything else just kicked in. Lack of clutch hitting. We'll get into it.
All right, man. Stay there. By the way, poll questions up, Chris. Dukes and Bell 929. We're asking you, what's the minimum amount you need to see a Penix, man? All right. Go check it out. It's on Twitter. We don't call it X. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 929 again. So I pointed this out this morning before I give you what I'm looking at right now. The fact that last night the Brewers had 16 hits, we had 15 strikeouts. They had 32 hits in the first two games. Well, we had nothing close to that. They also scored 18 runs in those first two games. Well, add 13 onto that. That's a total of 31, and the game is not over. We are in the bottom of the fifth or sixth inning, whatever the hell it is. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is a beatdown. This shows you how much better the Brewers are, okay, and have been pretty much all season. And it shows you where we currently are. And this has been my concern and why I'm so adamant about the fact that this is not a World Series team. Let's stop fooling ourselves. And, Mike, the other thing today that happened was they move on from Eddie Rosario. Well, why did you go bring him in here in the first place?
They didn't have a lot of money. You know, they didn't have a lot of money. They were going to take on contracts. So, I mean, Alex Anthopoulos, in light of the fact you will eventually get some guys back off injury, you were in this weird position. You know, that's why, I mean, I think we still talk about fans wanting more at the trade deadline. You weren't going to take on more salary because you're already in the top three in salary for next year before you, you know, make some other decisions. Rosario, it's literally, I said this, we were texting back and forth this morning. I said they're throwing stuff on the wall and see what sticks. You know, is Soler a long-term answer? I mean, okay, you're going to have Soler here as a pinch hitter and a DH potentially when Acuna comes back. And
two more years?
The heir apparent for the Bear when Big Bear leaves, man, Ozuna. So I was never enamored that Eddie Rosario was going to come in here and bat 300. Mm-hmm. And it just, you're living in the past. And I'm a little surprised that Alex played these cards from 2021 as if somebody you're going to catch magic in a bottle again, right?
Well, yes, I was very surprised, which is why I was frustrated with the moves to begin with. This is why I said I didn't think they were going to do anything. So what did he do? He made you feel very comfortable with people that you were familiar with. He didn't go get guys that you didn't know or hadn't watched. You felt like, okay, hey, these guys helped us before. This is what I heard for the last 3 weeks. These guys will help us again.
Yeah. Well, again, you might as well have made a trade for Jock Peterson and finish the trifecta.
So from a fan's perspective, that's kind of the feel-good space that you had been living in. The reality is, as I said this, So Lair hadn't played in the outfield, and you see what a disaster that's been the last couple of times they've thrown him out there. And on top of that, Mike, he went through a spell this season where he wasn't hitting. He had just started heating up before we made the trade, and now he gets here, and we are still wondering if he's going to be our leadoff guy. So I am beyond my wits with this team right now. And that is why I said yesterday, and I'll continue to stand on it, they're not a World Series team. I'm not going to go there anymore. One guy just hit me up and said, Dukes, I don't even know if they're a playoff team. Well, we keep clowning around like this. We might miss the playoffs.
Yeah, the Mets right now, guys, was it a half game back? If you lose this one, probably the Mets will leapfrog you. You're looking up at the Padres. Padres making money moves, man, adding some big pieces. They're clutch. You talked about it. You know, whatever this team does do, you got the Phillies, you got the Dodgers, you got the Brewers, and maybe Padres or Diamondbacks to deal with. And the Dodgers, you know, that speaks for itself. Those guys throw, you know, truckloads of money and stuff, and they're loaded. They've got clutch. We have no clutch. We've got journeymen. You're bringing in guys like, you know, Whit Merrifield. That's not a star. That's a guy that sits on the bench for the Phillies at this stage of his career. You know, we've talked about this all week. You don't have – look, let's just say it. They blew it. The Contreras trade, they blew it. Sean Murphy doesn't hit. Murphy cannot hit. Last year, Carl, you could stomach a guy batting 230, surrounded by guys all hitting 300 and slugging, and OPS was like around 9-1, right? 900-1.
Yes, it was.
But now, when you need him to step up, he's incapable. So we just
bomb.
It's not a well-constructed team right now because of the injuries.
Here is something that happened last night, and I was like, Snit, I wouldn't want to watch it either. Now, the ump behind the plate was terrible. But so are we. And I don't want to sit here and just blame the fact that we missed a couple of calls or he missed a couple of calls, and that's why the score was the score last night. But Snit had seen enough, and he gets tossed last night.
Snit is from the Bobby Cox School of Managing, and you're seeing he's getting his money's worth. Yep, I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. I was just fixing to say you're about to see Snit get thrown out of this game.
I think he's giving us a show, boys. This will be the first Braves ejection of the year. Get him, Snit.
It's a joke.
Well, he's warranted in doing this. It's been a very inconsistent strike zone, mostly gone against the Braves. He got a little bit of a frustrating time going on right now. So Snit's going to get his money's worth and try to fire his folks up at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, trying to get some energy, it's an old-school tactic, you know, Carl, for coaching across the board. It wasn't like Snicker was doing this for effect. This was absolute horse blank from Brian Walsh. Missed 20 calls in the Braves-Brewers game, according to the umpire auditor. 14 went against the Braves, to Tom Glavin's point. And if you didn't watch the game last night, strike zone was all over the place. Braves were not getting the pitches. So it's one thing, Carl, when you're struggling, then you throw the umps on top on a pylon. That's the last thing you need.
No doubt. It just makes you feel like, you know, no matter what we do, we can't get out of our own way. You heard it. First time he's been tossed, first ejection of the year. You can't argue balls and strikes, guys. You guys know this. So he knew exactly where he was going with this, and it is what it is. But it didn't work. If you were looking for a spark, or was Snit just simply trying to make a point, which is what I think he was. Like, this is horse crap, to Mike's point, and I just want you to know you are crap tonight, and I know we'll see you before the end of the season. I just want you to remember this. But if you were looking for a spark, that didn't work either because the bats didn't heat up after this.
Nah, and as we said earlier, guys, look, get off of sales. I'm just saying, guys, when you're not doing well, the last thing you need is for Chris Hill to not get through the fifth inning. That's the problem. See, that's what, you know, that's any team you've watched over the years. When you've got a 3 or 4 game losing streak or something's not going right, you've got your ace who steps in. Okay, I'm going to be, don't worry. Hey, guys, I'm the backstop. We got this. And you didn't get that. You know, you just didn't get that last night. And we've talked about the lack of clutch hitting. Today, they're getting absolutely demolished. Charlie Morton, I mean.
Embarrassing.
I mean, at this rate, he'll get DFA'd.
Embarrassing. This whole series has been embarrassing.
Well, I mean, we just talked about it. You couldn't make the big trade at the trade deadline because you're going to have 4 guys in the outfield. You couldn't find it. You weren't going to replace Arcia at shortstop. Ozzie's coming back. So you're in this kind of like, I don't know, call it this gray area. Where you just got to hope everyone gets healthy and starts hitting. Which, again, some guys are saying, why don't you ask for the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny to come and pinch it too? That's where they're living this day right now, guys. It's just not our year. And that's why last year, Carl, it makes last year's choke job against the Phillies
hurt even more.
That much more painful.
It hurts even more because you realize how good we were and we didn't capture the moment.
A season like that and you let it slip through your fingers just like the year before, you caught the Mets only to have not enough pitching. This is just a year, guys, where you just chalk it up. We said it yesterday. No different sport. 2018 Falcons. You just get so decimated by injuries, you can't overcome it.
Chris Sale, by the way, here's the other part about this. It's not just that you're throwing your ace this season. He's been your most productive pitcher. It's that they gave him extra day rest. He was rested. And you went out there and did that? Chris Sale, this is what he said after the game.
My job is to pitch. They pencil me in and they tell me when they're going to hand me the ball. I don't mind whether it's 5 days, 6 days, or 7 days. So I kind of have routines that fit each schedule. So they generally let us know pretty quick when it's going to happen. So I have routines fit for each of those scenarios. So it doesn't bother me one way or the other.
Old school guy, low key dude. I mean, he's a leader. He's won big. He's won big games. Carl, he knows what it's about. Pitch count got up because the umpire we talked about. He made good pitches. Should have gotten out of things. Pierce Johnson was ineffective last night. He got the L last night.
And he did have a bunch of strikeouts, yes.
Right. Yeah. He had 10 Ks last night, yes. But the ump still hosed him. But you got to get through I needed 7 innings from Chris Sale last night. I didn't need 4 2/3, I should say.
You did. What happens over the course of a baseball season is your true team eventually shows itself. If you've been really good throughout the course of the season, like we were last year, and then you get to the end of the season like we are now, a month and a half, two months to play, and you're still really good, that's who you are. We have been the most inconsistent team this year, and that's who we are. So as baseball seasons play out, this is what happens. And so this is not, oh, we're going through a stretch. Snit is saying that because deep down he knows he's been around this 60 years. He knows this team is not that. So
there's nothing you can do but handle.
This is not a stretch. This is the inconsistent Braves of 2024.
Yeah. And the thing that kept things, I think, hope alive for so many Braves fans is you had a ridiculous April. April, you just played out of your mind. You played it was almost like April was a continuation of last year's regular season, and then that just stopped. And then Acuna got hurt, and then all the other injuries cropped up. You know, Matt Olson goes through one of the worst slumps of his career. Other guys we talked about. Arcia was struggling for a while. Catchers can't hit. I mean, I'd roll with Darnell. I don't want to see Murph out there. I just keep rolling with Travis Darnell. But and then, Carl, look at the outfield. That's not a major league starting outfield.
No, it's not. Charlie, today, what, ERA 8? ERA is now at 8?
He got absolutely smoked.
All right. 404-726-0929. That is where we're at with the Braves. Headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live well, guys. Coming up also, we'll continue our conversation about what's going on around the NFL. 30 minutes from now, we'll get into an NFL blitz. There is a lot of news and stories going on as we head towards the first weekend of preseason football. And again, by the way, not only do we have the Falcons, you're home for the Falcons, but Mike, this weekend, Saturday, we got Vegas and Minnesota preseason football. Dallas at the Rams, Sunday. That kicks off around 4:30. And then we get into next week, and believe it or not, Atlanta, Georgia. It's high school football time. Right. Corky Kale is here, man. So it is right back at it. I mean, literally, we're about to be in the midst of all the things that we absolutely love. So make sure you stay tuned right here to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But just a reminder, like, we got a bunch of games, and we will throughout the course of the season, home for Monday night, Thursday night football, obviously Sundays. So there'll be a lot to look forward to. Hey, man, as we talk about the Braves, guy just hit us up and said, look, fellas, the way this is going, I'm not buying that we're going to be a playoff team. We've been in this wild card hunt, but we've been leading the wild card for so long. I just think we felt like, okay, we're going to handle it. Now we're chasing teams. And that, you know, to be ahead, Mike, and atop the standings versus chasing teams, it just gets more difficult because then that's when you even start to press even more because you're looking at the scoreboard and you're like, okay, we got to catch these guys.
Well, that's like the game where, you know, you got Kelnick trying to lay down a bunt. You know, you start doing stuff outside of your comfort zone. You're pressing. Look, it's just not even remotely close to the roster that we thought we were going to have out there this year, guys. I mean, Alex, you brought out Rosario. Rosario just can't do the job anymore. Duvall has been inconsistent this year. You know, Soler is what he is. You know, remember, Carl, you got Soler leading off now, and you're hoping that Money Harris is going to come now. He looks like he's okay. Looks like, hey, guys, if he's hitting down to Gwinnett, can we get him up? I don't need to see Michael Harris 3 days in Gwinnett, right? Get him up here. Let's go.
Is he the most important player in college football? We'll talk about it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Game.
Coming up, 20 minutes from now, we'll talk about what's going on around the NFL. Mike, did you see any of the Hard Knocks last night?
Yep. After we heard about some of the stuff that already broke, I watched it last night. They're really relentless on the rookie, Caleb Williams, with singing the rookie stuff. And, you know, it's the Bears, man. You're coming into a team which they think they're on they're poised, even though they didn't have a lot of success last year. They're poised to do something special, kind of like we are.
True.
You and I talked about this on the air at the end of the show yesterday. We live in a different time where people can express themselves and shouldn't be worried about how people feel about how they express themselves. But I do think it does, at least watching just last night, my 2 cents worth, Caleb Williams weren't carrying a purse around the Chicago Bears facility. It just feels like you're trying too hard. I know you want to be avant-garde, but I mean, hey, Rook, I maybe leave that at home. You know, and once you establish yourself as a rock star, then you can go full ham. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But I mean, and I know that people are going to say, oh, no, blah, blah, old guy, network. No, I'm just saying, rookies walking around like, you know, they're rock stars, establish yourself first. Then you can do all that stuff.
Yeah, when you haven't thrown a pass in the National Football League of value, right? That's the thing. Right. Is there plenty of upside for this kid? Yeah, absolutely. He seems like, Mike, you know, again, it's first episode, and we haven't heard anything coming out of Chicago except positive things, but he's handling the media and handling his situation fairly well. I just like the fact that, you know, they're taking us behind the scenes. And I will tell you guys this. The Eberflus thing, he doesn't pop. No. He may be a really good coach. Only time will tell. They're giving him another shot, but he doesn't pop. In this particular episode, for those who missed it, Nick Saban was in this episode, and that gets us to this college football conversation we're going to have. But, you know, he was coached by Nick Saban at Toledo. And so Saban is there talking about quarterbacks, and we played that soundbite yesterday where Saban said, listen, there's all this pressure on quarterbacks, and part of the deal why these guys don't make it in the NFL. And it's just him and Matt Eberflus in his office talking. But that's the connection to Eberflus and Saban. So, you know, whether he is successful, Mike, all I know is they went out and spent a lot of money on that offense. And DJ Moore got a big extension, and they show that last night in the first episode, or 2 nights ago. We just watched it last night. But, you know, the offense, they are loaded. And if he is not able to win with what is considered to be the most highly touted rookie since, I don't know, Andrew Luck, right, then he's not going to be there. And they will be looking for a new head coach. And then that opens up all kinds of doors. But if you are, you know, if you are Caleb Williams, you're hoping it does work. Because nobody wants to go through system after system after system. And they just hired a new coordinator in Shane Waldron.
I'm not trying to pile on, you know, with the stuff about how he handles his, you know, his persona and all that. I mean, said it last year. His Heisman Trophy candidacy is one of the great college football seasons of all time. I just think, you know, there are expectations for USC that weren't met, and he kind of took shouldered a lot of the blame when it really should have been on Cliff Kingsbury and the fact that he's never fielded a great defense since he's gotten out to USC. But, yeah, I mean, Mike Vick everybody was juiced on Mike Vick the year they went to the championship game. The following year, the stats weren't as good, but you know, you knew what you were getting. And I think Chicago knows they're getting a guy that looks like a rock star. Said it to Carl yesterday, though. It is interesting that a guy like Cliff Kingsbury, you know, works with him at USC, right, with Lincoln Riley, and then passes on working with him in the NFL. So is he a prima donna? Is he a bit of a head case? I don't know. Mm. The critics certainly, I mean, he had to circle the wagons last year with all the stuff that was going on the field. He's crying. All the typical sports talk crap where guys just, you know, throwing, you know, shots at the guy. But it does make you wonder why a dude who just spent a year with him says, I'll go with a guy I don't know yet in Washington, right, in Jaden Daniels, and coach him.
It's going to be interesting to see. If you haven't seen it, it's on. I think it'll be every Tuesday. They drop new episodes.
But you said it earlier. It came and went so quick. It's almost like the Giants, you know, offseason one kind of stole some of the thunder, which wasn't that compelling.
It was not. It was not. 404-726-0929. Speaking of Nick Saban, is he the most important player in college football? And I'm talking about Jalen Milroe. Mike, here's a guy that if you're a dog fan, you had no answers for him last year. We know the Dogs have to travel to Alabama, and Alabama is going to be a top-ranked team again. And the question is really not about Jalen Milroe. It is about his head coach. But if you believe Kalen DeBoer makes guys better, and he has, and he made the guy we now have on our team with the Falcons better, and Michael Penix, who when, you know, you talk to people at Indiana, when he got there, he was kind of an inconsistent player, and then he turned into one of the best players in college football and obviously got picked very high. Milroe's a beast, guys. He averaged 9.2 yards per scramble, 7.3 yards on all non-sack carries, Mike. So even when they had designated runs and things of that nature, kids popping off 8 yards a pop. And then on top of that, he throws a great deep ball, which we are aware of. He completed 45% of his throws of at least 25 yards down the field. Mike, if he's better than that and better than he was last year, all this conversation about Georgia and Ohio State, it might be Alabama, and Jalen Milroe might be the best, most important player in college football.
Yeah, 65.8% completion percentage rate, 23 touchdowns, 6 picks. Remember, he did not earn that job because he wasn't doing the stuff that Saban wanted him to do. They had that terrible game, if you guys remember, down there in Tampa, USF. They started the backup, and then eventually Milroe gets back on the field, and they get to work. And I tell you, man, this is a dude that we saw against Georgia. The combination of physicality.
Yep.
I still think if he just makes maybe one or two better decisions, ball comes out a little bit quicker, center doesn't miss some snaps. Still don't know what that last play was against Michigan in the semifinal game in the Rose Bowl. But that aside, Georgia couldn't figure him out. They're going to have to beat him again this year, first in Tuscaloosa and maybe again at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, listen, I don't want to overhype this because I think Carson Beck is going to have a great year. But for everybody, it's like forgetting about Alabama. And yes, they have a new coach. This kid was a problem last year. And once he figured it out, Mike, sort of like after the Texas game, right? It was the Texas game that had everybody on pause, and then everybody went, okay, what do we have to do? And Saban got him right. So I think if you feel like Kalen DeBoer, everybody I've talked to said, look, the kid, he's great with quarterbacks, man. We need to ask Michael Penix about this. At some point, we will. Then that means Jalen Milroe is going to be better. I will tell you, and we've said this, Carson Beck obviously in this conversation, but the kid at Oregon as well, if they're able to get through that Big Ten schedule, Mike, but Dylan Gabriel was also a guy that's coming over from Oklahoma, and you look at his numbers last year, I mean, it's crazy. He put up insane numbers and then says, oh, I'm going to go to Oregon. So he's going to get to throw the ball around there, and his wide receiving core is really good there. So if you feel like Bo Nix was really good, I think this guy's better. I think he's going to be better at Oregon with what they do up there.
Now, Oregon is a team, there's expectations now. How does, Dan Lanning handle that? You've got a team that has been built in the Kirby Smart model. You know, we always think of, at least most SEC fans think of the Pac-12 as kind of finesse, and they don't play that kind of defense. Well, he does, and they do. But yeah, Dylan Gabriel, he's going to have to step in and be the man. It's weird. You got so many guys, new faces plugged in. Miami thinks they got a guy in Cam Ward that's going to get them back to the promised land. I just read a review of Florida State's practice. They practice in Jacksonville at the Jags practice facility.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that DJU is still inconsistent. And this is from a Florida State website that says, for every big throw he makes, he's still missing on stuff.
Mike, isn't the game 2 weeks from now?
Well, we just talked about how bad Milroe looked at the end of last year before this season started. That's why I'm telling Tech fans, yeah, you guys have a real good chance to not just cover but win this game in Dublin, because I've not heard one glowing review yet about DJ Uiagalelei's third act, and now he's starting quarterback for Mike Norvell.
The other team, obviously, just talking some college football and all the hype surrounding some of these quarterbacks, but I'm just looking at Milroe, and I'm going, he's a beast. And if he's better, that's a problem. Will Howard, Mike, at Ohio State, if they're going to win a national championship, can he be C.J. Stroud? That's what everybody's saying. CJ was not the reason Ohio State lost the game. Remember, it was a field goal against Georgia as the reason why they lost the game. CJ Stroud was great in the game.
Well, I'm not going to try to tick off Georgia fans, because you won it fair and square, and you had injuries in that game too.
True
enough.
You
lost your starting tight end. You had a bunch of other issues. But Harrison getting knocked out of that game was huge.
Change
because
it.
Georgia had to start pinning their ears back and blitzing to get C.J. Stroud off the spot, and that would have certainly left Marvin Harrison Jr. unaccounted for if he was still on the field, but he was out with a concussion.
So Will Howard was not great last year at K-State. He transfers in, and that's why there's a lot of at least scratching their heads right now. We'll see how it shakes out.
They 24 touchdowns and 10 picks at Kansas State in a Big 12.
That's not great numbers.
That's like 1978 numbers.
Not great numbers. So right? For all the talk about how Ohio State being loaded, they are. This is their question mark. How is the quarterback situation going to play out there? Now, Georgia or Alabama or any SEC team doesn't have to worry about that until the playoff, guys. But this thing like, hey, Ohio State's just going to run through the Big Ten, not if they don't get that figured out.
Yeah, but I mean, Michigan, I don't think Michigan can handle the stuff they're dealing with. I know they still have some upperclassmen on the defensive side, but a head coach who basically sounded like a doofus at times, like the Penn State game, with the NCAA all over your butt. I just think Michigan, you had your national championship. I think they take a step back.
I do too.
Wisconsin.
Coach Harbaugh, love you, man.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's going to be interesting. They've got to play, again, I believe they've got Alabama out of conference. I'm going to go double check.
They got them at home.
But yeah, that's at Camp Randall, which, by the way, talk about, we talk about Georgia having to go to Alabama. If you're Kalen DeBoer taking your team to Camp Randall, one of the most crazy, hostile environments in college football early in the season.
Yeah. 404-726-0929. Carson Beck? Carson Beck? Or is it Jalen Milroe? Who's the most important person player-wise in college football? And if you say it's not either one of those guys, you're not paying attention. If Alabama's going to run their way to a championship, or if Georgia's going to get back to a national championship, you're going to see special things from Carson Beck. And I feel like if Jalen Milroe takes the next step, Mike, Alabama's going to be dangerous once again. And I – listen, you know me. I want to count them out. I want to say Saban's gone. This thing's a wrap. I can't. I can't do it. They've recruited way too well this season, and I just feel like, Mike, they've got way too much coming back to just discount them, and obviously everybody in college football feels the same way.
Well, I mean, it's still a guy. Everybody says, you know, Kalen DeBoer is ready for this. He can handle it. It's still, you know, it's still a new situation. It's still something he's going to get acclimated to. You know, we talked about, and you just mentioned how much we know about Jalen Milroe. How does Jalen Milroe process Kalen DeBoer's offense? That's one of the big questions. If you read all the Alabama website stuff, you know, that is, you know, there's some new nuances to it. Michael Penix Jr. certainly mastered it. But how does Milroe play in that offense?
I think the biggest thing for him, and we're going to see early on, it's going to help him because he's going to get rid of the football quicker. He doesn't have to use his athleticism, Mike, unless he wants to. And that, you know, those cases will be far few in between. But I think the thing about Michael Penix, if you went back and watched Washington, he got rid of the football. And that is what I think Coach Kalen DeBoer is pressing at Alabama with Milroe. Dude, we know you can get a first down. You can run 5 yards in your sleep. But guess what? You've got guys wide open, and it's going to set up other things down the field for us. We need you to get rid of the football. And if he buys into that, Mike, then I think he's going to be better.
I know that you've got great quarterbacks at Jackson Dart at Ole Miss. You know, the SEC's got some great quarterbacks. You've got some the best coaches in the league. But I tell you, man, it still comes down to me is it's going to be Ohio State. I think, you know, again, big question mark for the quarterback, but Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia. And then because of the nature of this expanded playoff, you can lose a game. You can lose two games, Carl, and a Georgia's still going to be in there. Georgia fans don't want to talk about losing any games. I understand the logic behind that. But I still think with this new – and Kirby's kind of – he foreshadowed it earlier this week when he said, we may play 17 games this year.
Yeah, he's right.
You know, so right. you got, you know, and everybody's, you can't look ahead. I get all that. But a loss early in the year, just like, for instance, if Clemson plays Georgia close and runs the ACC, they could be in the playoff.
All right. Want to know what you guys think. 404-726-0929. You can text us. You can find us on social media as well. Coming up, NFL Blitz. Also, we will find out what our buddy Frank Schwab thinks from Yahoo Sports as we'll go around the NFL. You told me yesterday, I think before we left Taco Mac. By the way, great location. Thanks for everybody that stopped by out there, Marietta, Dallas Highway. We'll be out. We'll be back out that way, kind of rotating between the Taco Mac there and Woodstock. And I think that location and some others, but a good time. But you said there was a big fight, and there were helmets being swung yesterday.
Yeah, man, if you didn't see it, it was DK Metcalf who gets things rolling, and it was right behind Tom Pelissero in the NFL Network's basically set. Guys up there are sitting in director's chairs. Meanwhile, right behind him, pow, it's like a Donnybrook breaking out, and he does, you know, one thing you're not supposed to do is take off the helmet and start swinging it, but we'll get into that and some of the other stuff. And the league, by the way, we learned yesterday, didn't realize, had basically said, you're going to be light. The teams are going to get fined in the wallet for fighting. They don't want to see that in these scrimmages.
No, they definitely.
Fans want to see it. Coaches want to see it. NFL doesn't want to see it.
Yeah, well, I don't ever want to see a guy pulling his helmet off and swinging on somebody. It took me back to that a few years ago, that Browns game. Remember that?
Miles Garrett.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not a good look, man. And I know tempers flare and all that, but that's it's like the unwritten rule in baseball. I'm not going to the dugout and getting the bat, okay? Right. I mean, that you just can't do those things. We'll get into all of that real quick as we're talking about college football. Mike, by the way, who's replacing all these wide receivers at Florida State that they lost?
They've got some serious new guys, just like they brought in Keon Campbell. Yeah. They brought in all those guys. Johnny
I'm just
Wilson.
Curious. They're all those guys are gone. You keep talking about Florida State maybe having issues with Georgia Tech, which I do agree with you just because I like Tech's quarterback to start the season.
The dude is supposed to be the guy is named Malik Benson.
Okay.
That would be the dude.
All right.
And he is a transfer from Alabama.
Okay. All right. That's one of my question marks heading into week zero with those guys. More college football coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. When we come back, though, it feels like that he will be better this year. But why? We'll tell you who we're talking about coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.